heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation.
The nation.
And now, Malcolm.
It definitely feels somewhat surreal. I don't think any of us quite thought this would happen in our lifetimes. We know historically it's happened in history and mankind, and we know those moments. We've talked about them on air, but not quite like this. At this moment of time, it doesn't seem real. Yet the answers that we're looking for have been there all the way through. I mean, they've been there. There's been so many predictions and reports of this pandemic, and it should not be lost on anyone that it's always China. It's always China that these things come from. Right? I mean, they don't come from the United States. They don't come from a European country. They come from China. And this conversation about China gets pretty deep, gets actually very ugly. And I think on the onset here, I'll tell you that looking historically at our relationship with China, I don't know. I don't know if we're better off now that we have a relationship with them after Nixon had opened that all up with Red China, or whether we would have been better to let them stay to themselves and isolate themselves back before then. Yeah, it's a big point I know a lot of you would argue with. Experts would argue with that question, of course. Say, no, it's a good thing. Obviously, there are 1.4 billion people now. But, you know, on the outset, I mean, China's never going to change. They're a communist regime with plans to rule the world. Now, we've been talking about this ruling the world for some time. And, you know, I think we all thought it was just a talking point. Like, what does it really mean? China rule the world. Yeah, they're not going to rule the world. I mean, it's just all a bunch of garbage, right? And of course, their plans, 2049 would be 100 years since the birth of the communist regime took over there, the revolution, you know, in China. So 2049 be 100 years. And that's the mark they actually put out there to be able to get that foothold. And you know, so then you see that, did we have to really help them, though? I mean, did our politicians have to really help them get there? Well, that's part of why we find ourselves in the position we're in right now. I think we take far too much for granted, and we've not played a good game here up to this point here. And again, it goes back through multiple administrations. And you know, the one caveat of all of this that continues to ring in my mind here, should ring in yours as well, is that Donald Trump, Citizen Donald Trump, he's seen the signs of this from as an outsider, just a businessman. He knew that China was taking us to lunch and then some, and he spoke out about it countless times. There are plenty of media reports out there over the years where Trump has talked honestly from his heart about how China was screwing us over, and people would always kind of look and look the other way. But he had a history of doing that. That became a major talking point when he decided to run for president. That was the major point right there. That was one of the big points that he put up, was all the trade deals and China. How many times should you hear China, the word China being said when he was running for president? It was a constant theme, that and the illegal immigration problem on the southern border. I mean, those were the 1-2 punches of his entire campaign in existence. All these upside down trade deals, NAFTA. Right? The manufacturing being gutted out of the country, the jobs being lost. Remember the previous administration saying he'd have to have the magic wand, all of that stuff. That's a constant theme, people. It's a thread that runs through all of this. We can't lose sight of that thread. This is important. And so the outsider, Trump, the candidate, seen all this, and he would do a little barking along the way, saying, you people, you don't know what the hell you're doing. Well, he was right in a lot of the ways. He was right, and he continues to be right in this way. As we point out, I don't think he has all the answers, and quite honestly, I'm going to tell you up front here, I don't think he's telling, well, I know he's not. He's not telling us everything he knows. He can't. You know, people say this president's transparent, very transparent, and he is. He's about as transparent as a president could possibly get without them locking you up and throwing the keys away, right? But, you know, we can't lose sight of the fact of what that position holds and how important it is. And the information that he has at his fingertips, in his mind, at his disposal, and how much of that information he can let out to the world is interesting as well to me. So he's transparent to a point, but there's an awful lot we don't know, people, that I don't believe he can share with the world and certainly share with America here. And I think it's important to address that up front here so we understand. You need to understand. You're not hearing the whole truth. You're not going to hear the whole truth. You can't hear the whole truth. That's just the way it is. It's the way it's always been. And in these political circles, they keep a lot of it to themselves. Remember, it's a bit of a club. It's a cabal for sure. It's their club. It's the political club. Yeah, I mean, Trump's the outsider for sure. He still has to play by a certain set of rules, people. He's done his damnedest to break those rules, I believe, and done a fairly good job in short order. It's incredible, actually, the job he's done to break the politically correct, the PC establishment. And, you know, he's pissed off most of the establishment. That's why they're all up in arms and want him out of there. You know, he's kind of exposed a lot of stuff. But it goes, I'm convinced, looking at all of this, it goes pretty deep. You know, there's so much information out there about China and the virus. There's probably 500 different stories about how this virus got its start and what the Chinese are up to, you know. There's about another 500 different angles on how the Trump administration has handled the crisis. So there's an overload of information and news out there for everybody. A lot of this information is taken out of context. In fact, most of it is. And it just, most of it's spun out there in different ways. And then we have a lot of people that take it. Some go with extreme stories and others just want to put it out there. But you have to understand there is no truth. Unless it's your truth or my truth, his truth or her truth. But what is the truth, really? It's a fleeting theory that there is a truth. I mean, what is the truth? I can tell you my truth today. Are all the facts, you know, the T's crossed and the I's dotted? Is that the truth? That's tricky. And I always refer to the out loud truth, but it's, you know, straightforward as we know it, whatever the story is, without an agenda attached to it. I guess that would be my truth. But we have to make sure those facts are real. Now listen, it was early January this year, 2020. The Chinese government announced that this new strain of virus had indeed infected a number of people in the Wuhan city. Right? They reported 27 cases. On January 29th, they reported just over 6,500 cases. By the first week in March, they had reported over 70,000 cases and 3,500 dead. And we were hearing some of the early stories on that, but none of us really understood or were convinced that this would grow into a pandemic and would knock us on our asses here. I don't think we really understood that at that point. And we heard the warning signs, but come on. I mean, and stop life as we know it, like it's been stopped right now. I mean, we've been stopped cold blood here. Bing, done. It's like a standstill. It's like the world is standing still. In fact, I get that impression, that feeling. America's standing still. It's very weird. It's odd. It's surreal. It's what I said, open it up. It's surreal. You can't even begin to think this is really happening. And you almost look out your window and you think, I don't know if it really is happening. It's kind of strange that way, isn't it? You know? Well, all the while, the Chinese government has been very, very reluctant to release any details on how this virus got into the public domain. And they've provided no dates of first exposure or where the exposure really came from. They're all just, you know, theories and ideas. But, you know, some of it's leaked out intelligence. Other people, you know, it's hard to keep the truth totally quiet. I mean, some part of it's going to leak out at some point. But where and when it happened and, you know, what are the circumstances around it all? You know, they didn't provide any of that information, people. They kept it all secret. And yet, if this was really an accident, as some people think it is, and that China is a good guy, well, the timeline alone on this would argue that point, because they knew that it would kill a lot of people. A lot of people. We don't know how many people yet it's going to kill, but it's going to be a whole bunch, whatever that number is. And there's all kinds of theories and models that are tainted and twisted because the data is not right that's being put in the models. But they knew it was going to kill a bunch of people, a ton of people. And yet, they kept all of it to themselves. So, you know, if you had if it was a real accident, if it was something that, you know, they're not guilty of and completely innocent, why would you hold that information back? For what reason? And the president knows this. He knows they held the, in fact, he has said that in plenty of the phone, in the press conferences. In fact, what he has said is very, very carefully. He's chosen his words very carefully. And he says, I wish China would have told us sooner. Yes, Mr. President, I know you wish. And I know you know a lot more about why they didn't as well. But he can't say that part of it, as I said. That's where the transparency ends right there. And you know, not to be critical, but I don't think there's any way the president can put anything more out there in the public purview, because it could become a real problem for a lot of reasons. It's like a minefield. It's upsetting the apple cart. It's the way it is. I guess timing is everything too, but there's a place and a time for everything. And if you upset that apple cart too much, too far, too quick, could be some pretty bad repercussions, people. It's not a game, you know. Well, the president puts out a tweet. This was actually very early this morning, in fact, on April 7th here. He says the WHO, and that's not the music group here, but the World Health Organization, really blew it. For some reason, funded largely by the United States, yet very China-centric. That's a nice way of saying they're China's bitch, you know. But again, the president still has to be somewhat diplomatic here, you know, in the tweet, right? We will be given that a good look. Fortunately, I rejected their advice, whose advice, you know, on keeping our borders open to China early on. Why did they give us such a faulty recommendation? ? Now, you have to love the way the president puts those out there. He's just, right now, he's just, you know, stirring the soup up a little bit. He's got it on simmer. He has a multi-stove going with a double oven and multiplex burners at any one time. So he puts the simmer on and he puts that on the back burner somewhere. So who can begin to think about, well, the money we're giving them to finance their little parade, like we do with all these global organizations. And I know the president would like to cut a lot of those cats out of the will, out of the U.S. will, get them the hell out of here. But again, it's an establishment. It's like the United Nations. It's, you know, sadly, there's only so much we can do. You know, again, this thing has been decades and decades, you know, over the last 100 years, it's become who we are as America. There's a lot of politics here, people. There's a history of politics and administrations on Republicans and Democrats alike. You got to remember that. So what we're reaping right now are the benefits and the rewards of many, many years of neglect and stupidity. So if we're to believe this is an accident, people, a coincidence, if you will, related to some research project they were doing, do you believe that that's it and that somehow it escaped the lab accidentally? I mean, this is so far-fetched. You think it was an accident from their lab, a pure accident, that they're really innocent of any wrongdoing here? Or do you think there's something more nefarious at play here? And possibly, and then you say, well, why would they want to attack the West or the economies of the West? Well, I'll give you a whole bunch of reasons in just a moment. How's that? We want to be careful here with the information as well, because there are a lot of conspiracy theories out there. And as I started this with you, there's 500 different stories on any particular day, all different angles. So let's try to state the facts and data and what we know without hyperventilating, blowing a gasket. You know what I mean? So what's the probability of this being an accident is the question we want to ask ourselves right up front here. Well, the development of what this COVID-19, the official name of the virus, of course, the president likes to refer to it as the China virus. He reminds people, again, this is where he's not PC, and it's why Americans love him. Because, you know, no, not many others would do that in Washington. They would go with the more official name that WHO has put on it, COVID-19, you know. Sounds like a breath mint commercial, you know. Get your COVID-19 here, you'll have good smell and breath. To everything we know about this now, in Wuhan, where this comes from, and Wuhan, I mean, our experts here and our diplomats here, I mean, they know Wuhan. It didn't come up just yesterday. It's a top secret military biological weapons development facility that sits there in Wuhan, people. Okay, that's what it is. So top secret. You hear the words top secret, right? Biological weapons development facility. But of course, everything the Chinese do is top secret. I mean, you can put that word on almost anything they do because they don't tell you squat, as I just said. I wonder, you know, the damage here, how much we jumped into bed with China. And when you look at the facts and the data here that we have, you have to really wonder, was it worth it? Is it still worth it? So how likely is it that this virus could just leak out of its container, you know, infect the number of people and then run rampant through a city of about 11 million? I mean, does anybody really buy that? You know, at this point, I want to also refer you to my previous talk, if you haven't heard that, The Virus Threats as a Weapon, as a biological espionage. And not going to get into all of that now, but if you haven't heard that, you can get that on AmericaOutloud.com. It's on podcast now. Just go to The Voice of a Nation under talk shows and look it up and listen to that program in its entirety. The Virus Threats as a Weapon. And that kind of lays out a scenario of biological espionage, if you will. And there's a lot of facts and data and real-time information in there that I think you would be worthy of listening and just having that information on the side. Listen, whether you believe every piece of it or not, it's just good to know what's going on, you know? So if this, you know, the whole concept that they say that this thing, the probability of this being an accident, I mean, facilities of this type, they have a myriad of safeguards. And it also, if you've been paying attention to the reaction of the Chinese government through all this, you notice how measured their responses are in their talk? Very measured. Everything that's going on, very calculated. Their entire response and the way they've dealt with it. And then the way they've dealt with the pharmaceuticals and the meds and the mask and all of the other things and 3M and all the companies and products that they took off the market throughout the world, by the way. Tell me that doesn't smell like a dead rat. You know, why would they do that if they cared about people, if they cared about humanity? Because the communist Chinese government has no value for human life. They don't care about people. And that's pretty obvious, should be to everybody. So once approximately these 75,000 cases of infection were reported and about 4,000 people were dead at that point from the spread of the virus, I mean, this thing blew up fast. And the number of cases all of a sudden after it did that fell to very low numbers. Some days it was even negligibly close to like zero or something, so they say, because you can't really believe their numbers, first of all, because they don't report. They're not honest. They're not accurate. They don't tell the truth. I mean, they lie for whatever the day is or whatever information they need to get out there. We still don't have any information from the Chinese officials on how this thing happened and how they contained it. Let's talk about the timing. The timing that a lot of people, a number of people, vacationers, businesses, students, all were exposed to the virus and they were dispersed in various places all around the globe. It was the right season to do it. The Chinese notified, I mean, nobody. It was like 60 days since the initial infection at the facility, supposedly. So you're talking a couple of months that went by. Do you know what kind of time and value that is? A couple of months of wasted time while this pandemic begins to propagate throughout the world and into America here as well. I mean, the initial spread of this virus to people outside of Wuhan is, it was time to the Christmas holidays, the Chinese New Year, remember? Yeah. The winter break, students returning from the United States to China, and all kinds of things going on. I mean, it was a great number of people traveling at this moment of time, this time of the year. It was, if you were planning to spread a virus of any kind like this, this would be a just perfect, absolute perfect time to do it, people. China was in a free fall, and we've been talking about it for a while. We've been reporting on it. You got to remember, the Chinese government had seen their economy, deliver some of the worst performances. And you read the reports on this now, that it had been having at least 50 years. Their economy was collapsing, was plummeting for a lot of reasons. And President Trump was squeezing that. I mean, he had his hand on that, all that trade talk, remember, back and forth. And I mean, the pressure from President Trump and the administration had such an effect on their economy, the tariffs and negotiations back and forth, on again, off again, on again, off again. Remember, last minute changes. I mean, there's no coincidence with that. China didn't want to cut a deal. They were forced to the table by President Trump. They had no intentions of cutting a deal with this president or this country. I mean, why would they? They've had their cake and they've been able to eat it too for a while. Their long-term strategy had been working out very well for them. All of a sudden, though, it was in jeopardy. It was absolutely in jeopardy, which is really the catalyst of this whole thing, people. That's where this comes from. And that's why the timing is so key with the 2020 election coming up. You see the newspapers and the media in China endorse Joe Biden. We'll talk about him in a minute. But they endorse him for president. Would be far better, they say, than a Donald Trump or a Bernie Sanders, you think, you know. Put a guy that's in a comatose state in there, and they can pretty well walk all over, which is what they've done for the past multiple presidential administrations, right? It's what they've been doing right along, walking all over our leaders. And it's something Trump has pointed out many times. In fact, he's been not real eloquent. If you go back and look at President Trump's speeches about China, they're not the most eloquent speeches you would hear that Trump has delivered, because they're very in your face and they're very true and they're not PC. And so, which is why then he started to get this whole personality, part of the reason, not the whole reason, but you know, you're a xenophobe and a racist bastard and you're this and that and you know, all of that. That's where some of that came from. Because he doesn't mix his words. And politicians, they always mix their words. They don't ever give you the real God's honest truth. So this is kind of a whole new paradigm we're dealing with here with this president, very clearly, you know. China has had their way with American presidents for a very, very long time, people. This didn't happen overnight. The Donald Trump, the campaigner, had pointed that out time and time again. Donald Trump, the citizen, prior to that even, had been pointing that out for years, how they were taking us to the cleaners. But there's a history of all this, this most favored nation trade status when we gave them that, and then the World Trade Organization membership to China when they were awarded that. You dial it all the way back to the Bill Clinton. And it was both Republicans and Democrats who did this. But here's the thing, people. They did all this without really thinking about the consequences. I think what I'm here to report to you today, more than anything, is that I'm not saying our politicians did it in an evil way, but as you look at all this data right now, the information, I mean, it's pretty obvious what's happened here. It's very obvious. It wasn't so obvious to them at the time. But again, as I say to you all the time, these politicians make decisions what feels good at the moment and for their next election. They always have done that. And they're always going to do that because it's the way our system is set up. Because we don't have term limits, we let them sit there forever, and because it's the nature of our election system. And so they pretty well have free lunch up there. And we bitch and complain as Americans that we the people don't like it. many people want term limits, so they want to get these people out of there before they need an oxygen tank, you know. But we go along with it because it would take an awful lot to make that change, and Congress doesn't want to make that change. And I get questioned that every day. Why not? Well, I agree, why not? There's a whole lot of reasons why not. You know, it's because they don't want it. Because we've given them the power, and they have their cake, and they can eat it too. And they continue to do that, people. Yeah, it gets a little dicey here. So I don't think the politicians were entirely evil. I'm not saying that. I think they were stupid. I think Trump was right. The campaign, Citizen Trump, rather, was right back then. I think he was right. They had their head up their ass, for sure. There's no doubt about that in my mind. But they weren't necessarily evil, specifically. Most of them were not. However, there's another component to this as well that is not lost on me. A lot of these countries, which we'll talk about in a moment, that escaped to China to do all this funny business with China. Well, friends, this was big money. This is what you call a lot of monopoly money. You don't have to pass go at that point and wait for $200 when you can rob it all and make billions of dollars and screw everybody over. But the thing is this, even if you know something's bad for you. Now, if I said to you today, I know we tend to pick on the executives and the people who have money, the billionaires, let's call it, you know, sometimes the multimillionaires many times over, but the billionaires, how damn they do this. The heads of the big corporations who sold us out, you know, starting with Apple. I mean, but there's a whole myriad of companies, 3M, I mean, that have done this. And they sold, but then you think, okay, so why are they doing that? Well, they're doing that for profits, money, greed. I mean, because it's pretty cheap labor out there. You know, you always heard the term the sweatshops, you know. The sweatshops, every so often there's stories about that here where the sweatshops and you child labor or people that are being, you know, all kinds of funny stuff because their human rights record out of China is despicable. It's as bad as any third world country on the planet, people, and worse. It's outrageous. If Americans really, if we had a window, if we had a camera into their human rights abuses, if we could see right now with one of those cameras like you sometimes see in the zoo where you can see the animals move around, if we could see those in China, like in real time though, not just videos running on YouTube, because those are out there already. But if we could see that right now and convince the people, people here would be stunned. They would be like astounded. They would be, I mean, you want to destroy China's, their half-witted reputation, whatever they have left? Well, that would be certainly one way to do it. Of course, they wouldn't like it. They'd fight back. And I don't think they've started yet fighting back, actually, here as a side note. I think there's going to be some ugly times ahead with China. We've been talking about this for a while, but now you've got the proof of it right now. So I think if I said to you, let's say you owned a company, okay? And you had some money. And, you know, the thing is, when you have some money, you want to have a lot of money. So if you have $50 million and you can have a chance of having $250 million, well, you want $250 million. And then if you have $250 million and you have a chance of having $850 million, you want $850 million. And if you can turn that $850 million into $5 billion, you'd want $5 billion. And if the $5 billion could be, you know, $38 billion, you'd want that too. There is no end to this thing, people. How much money can we use in this lifetime? Well, it's a good question. We could ask some of the players how much money they need in this lifetime. But, you know, money's like a sport, though. You see, it's an addiction. It's a drug. It's like the drug dealers. But once you have it, you want more of it. And those people that know how to play the game, that is. So if you were one of those people and you had whatever amount of millions of dollars you want to call it, and you had the opportunity to do something that you knew really wasn't quite right, but it was legal. It was legal because Congress told you it was legal. The system here told you it was legal. So it was legal. But you knew you were selling out your fellow countrymen, but the money and the reward was huge. It was significant. I mean, you're talking some big bucks here. And you love playing poker, especially when it's a foolproof game of poker and you can double, triple, quadruple the stakes. So what would you do? What would you do, people? What would you do, I wonder?
AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all.
Well, as we celebrate our four-year anniversary, thank you for making it all possible. We are a grassroots movement of patriots, blogs, podcast, video, and 24/7 talk radio on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. We are the vision of the Voices America Out Loud Talk Radio.
What if a new treatment backed by 17,000 scientific articles was proven to extend our lifespan, protect against terrible diseases like cancer, heart disease, and dementia, make us more attractive and thinner, feel calmer and happier, and boost energy levels, memory, and performance? What would you pay for even the smallest dose of this treatment? Well, the good news is you don't have to pay anything, because these are just some of the benefits of a full night of quality sleep. If you're one of the millions of Americans who need better quality sleep, the time to change is now. Until now, most sleep aids haven't worked, but a new, easy-to-swallow sleep gel, invented by the leading nutrition company, Healthy Cell, is designed to support all four stages of human sleep to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake up refreshed. It's called REM Sleep. To get a free two-night supply of REM Sleep, visit healthycell.com/sleep. That's healthy, CELL.com/sleep.
Our global experts are brilliant writers and engaging hosts on a mission of a lifetime. You'll find the latest news and inspiration on the front page of AmericaOutloud.com.
So let's dial it back now to 2000, if you will. And so we were at a critical point with the Chinese and our relationship with them. And there was, it really was the game changer in all of this. And it's when they were granted most favored nation trade status and the World Trade Organization membership, their entry into that, China, was when it all happened. It was May 24, 2000. Bill Clinton, he actually clinched what he believed, and many of his people believed, would be his last great accomplishment, biggest legislative victory of his presidency. And that afternoon, the House of Representatives voted to award China permanent trade relations. And this was, Beijing was fighting for this for a long time. It was a long time coming. And their bid to join the World Trade Organization, it was really a 1-2 punch. You had to do the one and then the other came naturally. And now there was a lot of arguing on the floor there in the House of Representatives. And you know, history will tell you that if you go back and look at this here, but it ended up being that 73 Democrats joined 164 Republicans to pass the agreement. And so that was back in 2000, mid-2000 now, okay? Bill Clinton again. So in the months right after that, Congress, they approved it to normalize the trade with China. So all these corporations here in the States, we're talking, I mean, barrels of corporations, barrelfuls of corporations. They announced they were moving their manufacturing overseas. So there was a giant sucking sound coming out of the States here. And it was the sound and as the air was blowing toward the East, China. That all happened once they officially joined the WTO in 2001. And they began rapidly transforming their country. They became an export behemoth, if you will. More or less in this foreign investment and the factory work flooded into the country. And remember, you know that we've all known the iPhones are built out there and the computers are built out there and the phones and the Tinkets and the Tuckets and all the stuff is built out there. I mean, it's because we don't do any of it here. This is why Trump had been running on the manufacturing, having to come back here to the United States. And people looked at him and remember, he needed the magic wand, remember? Of course, I mean, the magic wand. I mean, the American people are most resilient. I mean, they have a magic wand, sure. They are, and Trump knew that. Trump knows the one thing about this president, he knows patriotism, and he knows the American spirit. This I'm absolutely convinced of, without a doubt. He's one of the most patriotic presidents we've ever seen. How many other presidents you know walk by a flag and hug it? I don't remember one. This president is just a normal day for him. So he's a patriot, people. And many of you out there can relate to that because a lot of you listening are patriots as well. And so we get it. We get it here. We know what that means. That's why Trump speaks to it. He speaks the same language we like. We love America. We don't like it. We love it. We love American exceptionalism. So Bill Clinton says back then, let me read you his quote. He says, "This is a good day for America. In 10 years from now," so this was, remember, back in 2001 there, so, and this was a lot of the reason, by the way, as a side note, why, and because Donald Trump knew every bit of what I'm telling you now, and it got under his skin big time. And he also knew all of this when he was trying to fight and defeat Hillary Clinton, when he called out those trade deals and called out Bill Clinton. He actually, I remember him calling out Bill Clinton many times through the campaign in 2015, you recall. And this was what I'm talking about right now. He was right. It was indeed Bill Clinton who did all this. But it was also the Republican Congress who gave him that pass as well, people. Let's be clear. So he says, "This is a good day for America. In 10 years from now, we will look back on this day and be glad we did this. We will see that we have given ourselves a chance to build this kind of future we want. Embracing these sorts of economic liberties," Clinton said, "might one day lead the Communist Party to allow more political leaders as well. Might one day lead the Communist Party to allow more political liberties as well. By joining the WTO, China is not simply agreeing to import more of our products. It's agreeing to import one of democracy's most cherished values, economic freedom." And that was in a March 2000 speech, by the way. He said that, okay? Now, listen. He was right in a couple of things. He said in 10 years from now, we will look back on this day. And he was right. The president wasn't exactly wrong there. Bill Clinton was correct. In 10 years, they did look back and thought it was the right thing. But 20 years from that date, the President Clinton was dead wrong. It was not the right move. Again, they were quick to react. They did not really study and understand the situation. And the Republicans and Democrats sold out the country and the manufacturing base of America to jump in bed with China. And the greedy corporations enjoyed it. As I said, many of these millionaires and billionaires many times over thought, why not if they could double, triple, quadruple the money? Why not? The other place that Bill Clinton was wrong when he says embracing these sorts of economic liberties. I mean, come on, people. They're not embracing any liberties there at all. They don't even know how to spell the word liberties. The Communist Party and liberties can never be in the same sentence. And so that was a bunch of farce, and he knew it. He knew it. Clinton knew it. And of course, Congress knew it as well. Red China was never going to embrace any freedom, any liberties, or any part of America. They have a different view of their country. They have a different view of the world, and they have a different view of their place in the world. And truth be told, we've been talking about this for a very long time. We've been saying it for months and months and years. Been talking about China, telling you it was never Russia. Rewind the tapes, people. We talked about every bit of this. It was always going to be China. It was never going to be Russia. So why did our political elite make Russia the big bad bitch and not China? Well, China now was growing fast, and U.S. companies wanted to sell to the largest population of the world. I mean, again, we have 327 million on any given day, and they got 1.4 billion. So there was a friendly start to the 21st century, more or less, with China and the U.S., number one and number two economic powers in the world now. Of course, we made them an economic power. Let's keep that in mind. We made China who they are. Donald Trump absolutely knows every bit of that's true. I mean, if we could rewind the clock back, sure, they were nothing at that point. They wouldn't have been anywhere near this. They were never a threat to us. We made them, and isn't that going to come back to haunt us now? As you're now seeing the move, you're now seeing the early start. So every time we talked about China becoming the big, big, bad boogeyman, we now are at the early stages of this right now. They now have made their move on the chessboard, and now we're reaping the rewards of that. And it's, you know, anybody's guess, you could say, of where this goes next, but you can see what's happening here now, people. And it's not going to be easy to put all this back into the genie bottle there. You know, once that genie comes out in your fairy tales, it's real hard to stick that, you know, that overweight genie back into the bottle. It's a bitch. Real tough. It's a small little, you see, it's a little, small little hole on the top of the bottle. And the genie is, she's pretty good size, or he's a pretty good size. I don't want to be gender incorrect here, you know. But, you know, and it's hard to get the fat ass back into the bottle. But, you know, you have to really break the top of that bottle off or crack it open or smash the son of a gun to get the genie back in the bottle. But then the genie don't stay in the bottle because you just broke the bottle. See, there's a whole, it's my version of a fairy tale on that genie bottle thing that, you know, we talk about sometime. Yeah, wow. I digress, huh? This, so Trump comes in, he's dealing with all these trade problems. Remember all the trade deals. But our manufacturing and all throughout the Midwest was all gutted out and sold out, and energy was we were going through a transition here in this country. But I have to tell you, it's a transition that I think we won't be proud of 100 years from now, because in a real sick sort of way, I'll say to you, we took what was the greatest generation, our ancestors who fought like hell and made this country into the amazing country that it is, you know, and it's early, I mean, just at 230, 40 years in, we're 243 now, but, you know, we were really that kind of a country, well, back before 2000, back in the 90s, 80s, when a lot of us were much younger growing up. And now we're a whole different country now, and a whole different world, and a whole different environment now. And we're not going back into that genie bottle again. And so now all bets are off, people. And I think it makes the next... So I was saying to you about the generation. We really are the most screwed up generation of what's happened here, what we've done, what we've really destroyed. And I tell you about the leadership that I'm not real proud of with the Obama, Bush, Clinton, Bush relationships. Those administrations have done a lot of damage over the last 35 years. I mean, it's the way it is. You have to go back to a strong president of a Ronald Reagan, and then now with Donald Trump, and there's your bookends. If you have any chance of saving America, and just think a minute how crazy that sounds. Just think if there wasn't a Ronald Reagan at that time. Switch him out for another far-left liberal socialist Democrat, and then switch Trump out right now for a far-left leaning socialist Democrat. And I got to tell you right now, people, we got a country that is in the toilet. There's nothing left of us. Think about how blessed we should be, or at least to acknowledge what nobody ever talks about. I guess we could actually write a book about this, that Reagan and Trump saved America. That's the way I look at it. They're the bookends to our salvation moving forward, probably, I believe. There's a lot of ifs there now. There's no guarantees here, by the way, with the story I'm drawing out for you today. There's a lot of ifs. If we're going to have this conversation down the road, I got to tell you what. Let's just say if you replace those two presidents with, you know, more leftists, more, you know, more of this big government and selling out America, friends, you got nothing left. We don't have a chance in hell of ever coming back at that point. It's an interesting way to look at it, I think, for a moment. But that should put it in perspective for you. It does me. And it allows us to really understand the importance that Ronald Reagan, and I always studied Reagan, he was an important president in our lifetimes. And Donald Trump is as well. And without these two leaders, our country is done. We are over. We are history. Our Roman Empire, our Roman power, we had already been, we would have fallen already. And there's not to say we're not going to fall. And I know that doesn't sound very American and very patriotic and very confident or optimistic, but I am optimistic. I am confident and I am patriotic and I am an American. But there are no guarantees, people. And especially with the forces against us right now, which is why the rallying call is so important here, why we have to get out loud and why we have to do the things we do. And what gets me up in the morning, as it probably gets many of you up in the morning as well, ready to fight for another day, save this country, save the world, I guess you could say, save our families for what's here. or there's going to be nothing left. The world goes into ruins real quick after this if we don't turn. It's not a fairy tale. It's not a theory. And there's nothing conspiratorial about it. It's just a fact, people. It's a simple, simple fact, just a real fact. So the trade wars that Trump got through were significant. He redid the NAFTA thing, became the USMCA, brought a lot of the manufacturing back. Jobs were going through the roof, had more jobs than we could ever have available now. We needed people to do the jobs. What a great problem to have. Interesting. All that we had going on, remember, you know? And the president in the U.S. and China were at an interesting place in time, you know? I think... Actually, Trump actually came out and said this. He said, we're going to right the wrongs of the past and deliver a future of economic justice and security for American workers, farmers, and families. I was back at the campaign. Right the wrongs of the past, he said, President Trump said, and deliver a future of economic justice and security for American workers, farmers, and families. The president has done his damnedest to do that. President gets an A-plus in that particular area of the report card, people. He's done real well. He's cared about middle America like no president we've ever seen, Democrat, Republican, or communist. No one has ever cared more than this president. For the American worker, that is. For us, for you and I, that's why America loves him. Really, truth be told, you know. And then so I said, where were the Democrats on all this? And I just want to point out something else here. Yeah, now, Joe Biden, he was the senior Democrat, by the way, back then when this MFN deal was going through and the World Trade, when they were accepted in there. He was the senior Democrat of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, and he carefully worked with China through the process from his political perch, if you will, you know. Now, as the Chinese Communist Party were gaining strength and Xi Jinping, he seized absolute power. Remember, he became president for life. You remember all those headlines? Like, how the hell does that happen? You know, well, it happens in a communist country. I mean, they do what the hell they want. They don't need your permission or mine. You know, so that's why they don't have an open environment. It's why they close down social media. They monitor and manage everything. You're talking about George Orwell. These people have surpassed Orwell in 84 beyond. There's a camera everywhere. You can't sneeze or fart, and they would know about it. They're going to know about it, people. They know everything out there. They know what's going on here. Like enough spies and people here to know what the hell is going on as well, you know? So anyways, Biden, he was pushing for closer ties and even more trade, as a lot of the political leaders were, both Democrats and Republicans, quite frankly. And in February 2012, in some remarks with Xi standing right next to him, Joe Biden praised Beijing as a new partner. I seen that quote just the other day. And he says that would help us to meet global challenges, and said that Americans welcome the competition. Yeah, competition is one thing, but stealing our shit and, you know, becoming your, you know, secondhand rose bitch was not the plan here. So let's be clear. Not the kind of competition or game plan we had intended for. This wasn't about competition, people. I mean, come on, millions of American jobs were disappearing as Biden was up there talking. And as Republicans and Democrats in Congress were selling us out. Then at the same time, these jackasses, the militarization of the South China Sea was just happening here. So China now was feeling their oats. I mean, they really had they were on top of the world. I mean, they had it all. They had the best deals they could, the manufacturing, the trade. We built China up. We made it happen. And now they were flexing militarily around the world. And then, you know, then we started to do that whole Russia thing here, which was, you can see why this is so disturbing on so many levels. The politicians and political leaders here, how disturbing it is, you know. And then you had the whole, and just one quick point too as well, not to belittle all this or belabor it here, but, and then as we were having all these warm, fuzzy moments with China, our workers were being screwed over and our manufacturing facilities being torn out and jobs were plummeting here, and economic and the Great Recession of 2008 and all of that kind of tore us apart at the end of Bush and the beginning of Obama. And of course, Obama, with his policies, he never had a good economic jump. The economy just flooded along, barely, even with American strength and ingenuity, because he didn't know what the hell he was doing. And he wasn't willing to take the risk that Trump did. frankly. But the report is backed, and the point I want to make is about Hunter Biden, of course, Joe's son there. He was back and forth with these trips to Beijing in 2013-ish, right around there, 2014, 12, right in that area. That's the year, right in that area, 2013, that Hunter, he joined the board there of directors at that Shanghai equity firm there. And a few months later, his father left office, and he invested a substantial chunk of that money, the funny money, monopoly money, in the company. And so that's where they made a lot of bucks there. The Biden family has done very, very well. Boy, he'd make a fabulous president, wouldn't he, people? Just imagine. Keep your eyes open long enough so you don't steal it all. But anyways, so listen, Democrats have been claiming that Trump is a Russian agent, and we've all been through that narrative till the cows come home. And I've said to you countless times before, we needed to be at the table with Russia, not against them like we have. We needed them on our side. You don't want an axis of evil out there with China, Russia, Iran, North Korea. You don't want that, people. That's a bad look. Now, at the same time with all this happening, I don't want you to lose sight of Hong Kong. You had all these uprisings in Hong Kong going on, remember? That was getting pretty serious, and it looked like it was going to tip over. Beijing was trying to bite their tongue. And it was right on. We talked about it many times on Viewpoint, in fact, and on our Sunday program here. Things were at a very risky point there. And so all that was happening as well. And Beijing was kind of losing their grip a little bit. You kind of started to almost feel sorry for them, people. Tongue-cheek there. Statement, right? But you almost did because, you know, Hong Kong was falling apart. You know, of course, they got that from the Brits, you know. And then you had the economy plummeting and all this was going on. And Trump, and we were smooth running along and things were going fabulously well back here. As Trump, the economy was the envy of the world. It was the best the United States, well, you heard, that we had in our lifetime, supposedly. We heard the numbers were great, the economic numbers, the job numbers, and the possibilities were endless. So the economy was growing by leaps and bounds, and China was stumbling everywhere, right? And so then, you know, I mean, the last couple of years, 24 months, there's been a lot of challenges economically for China, and the U.S. has stood its ground. Trump was pretty straightforward on what he wanted to accomplish here in America with our jobs and our economy. He promised that, and he delivered, by the way. But again, 2049 would be the 100th anniversary of the Chinese Communist Revolution. Okay, don't lose sight of that either. And that was a mark that they had said they wanted to be the superpower and dominate the globe. And that's been set out there. Again, because it is the 100th anniversary of the Communist Revolution. And so, friends, if you're leaders of the party in China and looked west to the United States, where the Democrats had been trying to remove President Trump for 3.5 reckless years, and laughing like hell. You can just imagine the meetings they have back there with their feet at the table and their cigars in their mouths and their bourbons in their hands and chuckling like hell that were throwing darts at Putin. You just know the Communist Party is having an all-out brawl back there, chuckling. And then you say, now, where does this virus come again? From what? Oh, an accident. Yeah. Oh, from the left. Oh, and they did what? They held it back. Oh, they made a little mistake. Oh, that's all. Nothing nefarious there. China was very well intentioned, weren't they, people? Sure. You know, maybe if you're the ruling body in China and you could release a virus onto the American population and around the world for that matter, Europe as well, that looks innocent enough, has a long incubation period on the people that are infected, and is three times as infectious, at least three, maybe more than that, is the common flu, and has some other very, very nasty features, accommodations to the virus. And at the same time, you make it look like just an accident. I don't even know when it happened. We don't know where it happened. We don't have numbers to give you. We don't want to tell you anything more. And we're going to buy up all the medical equipment on the open market, and the pharmaceuticals and the meds, and all the, and we're going to tell 3M and all those companies they can't sell to you. And we're going to buy up all the rest of it throughout Europe and everything ahead of time just because we want to. Sounds reasonable enough to you, does it, people? Sure. Now, let's talk about a few conspiracies, huh? In our last minute or so. People, this is, as I previously said, you know, China is on a march. They have a goal here, and they're on a march. And as many times as we've talked about them and it and their goal and what they were doing, you might have never thought this was going to happen in your lifetime. Of course, none of us really thought. I couldn't say that I thought. I couldn't have told you that this was going to happen at this time. I didn't say that because I didn't know when or where or how it would happen. But let's just say this. China, communist China, has now made their move. They've made their move. And there is no other way to look at that. And whatever our political establishment does next, the system here is going to matter a whole lot what these United States look like in the future. But you do the math on what I just gave you, and you start to do the math real quickly and see what we have. And there's so much more to this with the impeachment trial and why Pelosi was trying to get President Trump out of office with the impeachment. They had released that virus already. It was in China. And it was already starting to come over into the continent here while they were still trying to impeach the president and accuse the president of not paying attention as they have dogged him for all of these years that he has been in office thus far. And then we can have a conversation when you do all that math and tell me what the equation is or what kind of an answer you come up with. Where does this leave us? It leaves us in a heap of trouble, in a very difficult predicament now dealing with the number two economic power on the planet and a nuclear force and a country that we have built in so many ways. And now we may not be blood brothers anymore with, and President Trump knows he's got his hands full. I can see that in his body language every time he talks about them, his friend Xi Jinping and the communist Chinese. And the Democrats continue to use this as petty warfare, political warfare, with their motive of ruling the world here from the States at any cost in creating a socialist United States, the United States Socialists of America. You know, this is the new Soviet Union. If this continues down this path, not a pretty picture, people. So we'll do some math together, but the message today is that we're running out of time, and the stakes are incredible, and they've now made their move on the chess game, and we can no longer wait any further. And the accountability in holding our politicians no longer a theory or a political election talking point. I highly recommend that you all get off your asses very quickly if you are on them. If you're not, congratulations, and let's sign up here to make something happen. But we better get those people off who are on their asses, and it is time to get a plan in action, because we the people is the force that needs to make this happen. You can no longer rely on the political misfits in Washington. They have sold this country out for the last 25 plus years, and here we are. It's time to get involved and get loud.